What a life, man. What a life. What a life. And I thank God for, well, a few things I want to say real quick. The ladies' transition home. It's back there on the table. Look at it. If you want more information, libertybehindbars.com is our website. Go on there and it explains everything. Okay. Explains the funds that we need to raise, about $100,000. I think we're hopefully this by the end of this week or next week, we'll be close to $11,000 already raised. And God's continuing to bring that. So go check that out on libertybehindbars.com. You can sign up for our email. Sign up to be on our, prayer letter. We can send you a prayer letter personally through the email. We can send it hard copy if you're not an email type person. We can also send that to you. Financially, this church has been good to us. You've been supporting us for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. And we thank God for that. Money is good. It moves things. But I don't care about moving things. I need God's hand moved in the ministry. What moves that, Brother Rich? Your prayers. Your prayers are going to move the hand of God for Liberty Behind Bars. So we covet your prayers. If you can't give us anything towards the woman's home, pray for it. Take a prayer card and say, you know, I'm going to pray for them once a week. Oh, you go, man, that's a lot. Is it? Is it? My goodness, it's not so hard when you have a love for ministry, when you have a love for people, it's not hard to do those things. The problem is we lose the love in our heart. It becomes repetitive and we get bored with it. Well, that's not God doing that. That's you. That's your heart. Stop. Get fresh with the Lord. Go back tonight and say, at your house or come up to the altar. But you don't have to wait till the preaching's done to come to an altar. And they say, Lord, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to renew our relationship with one another. I'm tired of living near God. I want to live nigh unto God. I don't want nothing in between me and you. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life when you draw nigh unto God and He draws nigh unto you. But anyway, shorts. No, I don't wear shorts. Am I against them? You know, do I think they're... No, I'm not against them. I don't wear them because the Bible says when I became a man, I put away childish things. Just kidding, Doug. Just kidding. I don't wear shorts. And people often ask, Brother Dale, why don't you wear shorts? I say, why do you want to see my legs? Hey, if I was standing next to Doug and it was 800 degrees out, we'd both be sweating the same. The shorts aren't doing people any much better. Okay, it's just a reality, okay? And so, but I'm not against shorts. If you wear them, you're still my friend. I'd hang out with you. It doesn't bother me. I don't pick on you or nothing like that. It's just I choose not to wear them. And you wouldn't want to see my legs, trust me. There's no reason for it. But anyway, onto the Bible. You know, we often ask ourselves, what can God do for me? How can He make my life better? How can He make my life more pleasing? How can God give me those things that are pleasing to me? But when have we ever stopped? And Brother Rich, thank you for playing that. I love that you did that. It's good to see you guys here. But when have we ever stopped and wondered about what's pleasing to God? When have we taken the time to say, Lord, I want to know what's pleasing to you? Because, you know, we always fall on our face and we're asking God for things and we're asking for direction and we're asking for Him to move in our life. But we never take the time to go, man, what is pleasing to you, God? And tonight I just want to share a few things about what is pleasing to God. And, you know, God has given us some things in this wonderful book on how we can know how we can please God, what things please God, so we can change a difference in our prayer life. What is pleasing to God? What is pleasing to God in your life? What is pleasing to God as a church, as a whole in the church? Well, let's look at one. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, if you're good at turning, get ready, because we're going to do what I call Bible exercise. What does that mean? We're going to turn in the Bible and read it. I like Bible exercise, man. I love to turn the pages of this book. I love when God sits down with me and He teaches me these things and He shows me things and then He encourages these things in my heart and it exhorts, you know. The encouraging and exhorting are two different things. Encouragement is a short-term thing. You want to encourage somebody to get back on track. When you exhort somebody, it lasts for a longer period of time. It's something you're trying to teach them that lasts longer than just a few days. Tonight I wanted to exhort you on what is pleasing to God, our Savior, the one who chose to go on that cross. I often have people say, Dale, God is so loving, why does He put them in hell? I said, my friend, you got it mixed up. He chose a cross so they didn't have to go to hell. They reject Jesus Christ, therefore they go to hell. God didn't choose that for them. God chose a cross. He came out on that cross and He died so that people didn't have to go to hell. He's a loving God. Don't you want to know what's pleasing to God? Doesn't that ever cross your mind? What can we do? What is it, Lord, that pleases You? You know why, brother? Because He put it in the Bible for us to know what pleases Him. He wants us to know what makes Him happy. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Look what it says here. And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Look what it says after that. And praying. Ain't that something? He's being baptized and praying. Man, that's good. But look at, the heaven was opened in verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art My beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. Our first thing that we know that's pleasing to God is Jesus Christ is pleasing to God. What He done for every single one of us sitting in this room, whether you're saved or unsaved, Jesus Christ is pleasing to God. What He went through, please. Hey, do you know that what He went through pleased Him? God, look at Isaiah chapter 53. Let me just show you something here in Isaiah chapter 53. Because I'm going to show you that the sufferings of Christ please God. It pleased God the Father to do that to His Son. Why? For your sake. Do you know that Jesus Christ said that it was a joy set before Him to go to the cross? Why? Because He saw your face. He looked at your life and the world would have said, man, that person needs to just die and go away. But God said, no, I'm going to die for him. I'm going to die for her. And it was a pleasure for him to go to that cross. What a joy he said it was. Why? Because he's seen every single face sitting in this room. Doesn't matter what condition you're in. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're going through. It was a joy set before him. Why? Because he's seen your face. He's seen your trials and your troubles. He knew them before they come upon you. Therefore, he knows how to take care of them. Thank God for it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. We know this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ fulfilled. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord for those people to kick him and beat him with the cat of nine tails and to spit on him and to punch that crown of thorns on his head, to rip that beard out of his face. It pleased God. It pleased God the Father to allow His Son to go through that for who? You. It pleased God. But when do we ever sit back and think of that? When do we ever ponder on what it took for Jesus Christ to die in our place? We often think of the cross, and that's about the extent of it. But let me just tell you this. First of all, He chose to come down here. He volunteered to leave heaven to come down here. And guess what, Brother Doug? He come to live in a manger. Anybody living with animals? Our Savior was born and put in a manger. Since His birth, the devil's been trying to kill Him. We only think of the cross. We don't think of what's happened since His birth and what He's done. And look at, and God the Father, it pleased Him to watch every bit of this. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He, God the Father, hath put Him to grief. He put Him to grief. It pleased the Father to bruise him and put him to grief. God the Father was pleased at looking at the bruising and the grief that Jesus Christ took in your place. And it pleased God the Father. Why? In hopes that it was going to save you. In hopes that you would look at what Jesus Christ done in his life. And it pleased the Father because it satisfied the laws. He became that perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. S-I-N, singular. Everybody puts an S on that. Your Bible doesn't read with an S on that. It reads singular. What's he talking about? The sin nature. Because of our sin nature, we have sins. He came to take what? The sin nature. That therefore, the sins would go away. Not make you perfect. We're never going to be perfect. We're still going to fall. But let me just tell you this. When he comes in and he forgives us and he takes that sin nature and he puts that new man in, that we have both, depending on which one you want to feed. Then he takes away those sins and he says, I'm going to cast it behind my back and I'm not going to remember them no more. You know why? Because Jesus Christ bore them. How much of a grief do you think that was to Jesus Christ to take your sins, Brother Paul? How much of a bruising do you think, Amy, that Jesus Christ felt taking what you did on him? And yet it says it pleased the Lord. It pleased God the Father to allow his son to go through that. It says it pleased him to go through those griefs. And look what it says. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He had to sacrifice his soul for yours. It had to go from one place to the next. Your soul or his soul. One of them was going to pay the price. And Jesus Christ said, I'll go. And God the Father said, Jesus, what you go through is going to please me. Why? Because he was looking at your face. He's looking at your sins and said, I'm still going to go. Regardless of what they do, I'm still going to go. He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. Look at, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. It pleased God to do this to Jesus, what we deserved. Somebody had to pay the price. And God, Jesus Christ said, I'll pay that price. And God said, I'm pleased with that. Whenever he goes through, every single bit of what he goes through, it pleased the God the Father. Ain't that wonderful? Was the last time you got on your face and thanked God for what he's done for you? And I mean, thought about what Jesus Christ has really went. Go read the account of his life. And watch what he went through before the cross. There's a lot there. There's a lot there that he went through for us. And it pleased God the Father for that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's show you a few things here real quick. What else is pleasing to God besides Jesus Christ? Look at Hebrews 13. We'll start in verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 13. I like to repeat myself. I had a man walk up to me one time and say, you know, you only repeated the verse twice and I didn't catch it. And he missed it. And I always said to myself, I'll say it 4 to 5 times now. I just want people to know where we're at. So that's why I repeat it. I'm going to listen to the wisdom of a man. And that's what he told. Or a woman, if she would have told me, I would have done it. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. By him, that's Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. You know what that sacrifice means? That means whether it's a good time, a bad time, whether things are going good or not going good, we are to offer a sacrifice of praise to Jesus. Amen. And this Bible never says when things are going good, then you do it. Man, when did we get into this weak Christianity when we think everything has to go so good for us? When? It's not that way. Jesus said, if I suffer, surely you will. If the world loves you, it's because you're living like the world. That's right. That's right. Hey, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, it's a duck. If you look like the world, sound like the world, walk like the world, you're of the world. And the love of the Father's not in you, according to 1 John. My goodness, how many of us in this room had somebody come knock on their door wanting what you have spiritually this week? That includes me. Why? We're too busy looking like the world. We're too busy fitting in. We fit in with the world today. I kid you. Look, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but if you get offended, oh well. That's why I don't wear shorts. I'm trying to look different. I'm trying to look separate from the world. I want people to look, and it's hard for me because I'm covered in tattoos and now everybody's getting tattoos. You don't even know how many Baptist kids I see walking around now as saved people loading their bodies up with tattoos. How is that not of the world? How are we looking different? Our conversation should say something. How about it when that waitress messes up everything? How about Almighty Christian? How about the complaints and the things that you're saying towards her? How do you know what she's going through that day? How do you know she don't have children home that are sick and dying? And her dad has left. The dad of them children are gone. She's got to work by herself. And you want to complain about how she brings your food? Ask my family if they're allowed to say anything. Ask them. You better not. You go out to dinner with me, you better not say anything. I will say something to you. I'm not afraid of it. You must be a tough guy. No, I'm not a tough guy, but I'm a Christian. Amen. Jesus Christ would let that food pass. Let it pass. Amen. And then leave them the biggest tip you ever left anybody. Amen. Why? Because we're trying to show them we're Christians. Amen. We want to show them love. They need love. They need peace. They need to see something personal. We had a preacher down there in Virginia say this. He said, I have a hard time witnessing. I said, then what do you do? He said, when I sit down, that waitress or waiter comes over. He says this. He goes, hey, I'm a pastor or I'm an evangelist, a missionary, whatever you are. He goes, we pray and we'd like to pray. What's one thing that we can pray for you on? Brother, let me tell you about the conversations we've had. What that opens up, just last night over in Syracuse, we went to Syracuse, Destiny Mall. We walked there at least twice a year. I forgot the name of the restaurant. Stella's. We're going to Stella's there. Betty Boop restaurant. We're going to Stella's and we say, hey, now I know this girl wants nothing to do with Jesus or anything else. I said, what's the one thing that we can pray for you on? She had about a 10-minute conversation with us. You know why? Because somebody cared. Somebody cared. They'll watch you by what you do. Somebody cared. You have to care for these people. You can still leave them your track. But care for them. And tell them you're going to be praying for them. My wife stood there and did that to a waitress. And that waitress just broke down and cried. My wife got up and was able to hug her. And she was going through one of the worst days of her life. Oh, but judge her because how bad was the order that she brought? It was terrible. What about the one that's got the purple hair and the earrings all over the place and everything else at the checkout counter? Instead of judging her, why don't you love her? You don't know what she's been through to make her feel that way. We don't. We're too busy judging. We've become a very judgmental Christian. And I understand we don't have to agree with them. There's a difference between agreeing with them and trying to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Offer the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice means no matter what, you're willing to do that. Because he was willing to do this. Hard days come. We lose loved ones. Things happen. But this never goes away. But yet we forget to praise him for that. It's a sacrifice that we make on our part for what he's done. Look what it says. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God sometimes. Or when you feel like it. No, your King James Bible says continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Then it says in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Oh, wow. You want to know what pleases God? There's three things sitting in front of you. To communicate means to impart knowledge or an idea, to inform a person. He says, do good. Praise God. Do good and communicate. That's well-pleasing to God. And you know what they all three are? A sacrifice. You're going to have to move yourself out of the way to do those things. But you know what Jesus Christ said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oops, I just said that in the Baptist church. Because self-denial has become sickening in churches. There is no more self-denial. It's about how good we can do, how good we are, and what we can do. It's not, there's no self-denial. There's no sacrifice of yourself, according to Romans chapter 12. The giving up of yourself for the good of somebody else. Have we forgotten our way? You know what the problem is? It's not even that we've forgotten our way, but we have left this. The Bible says that God's going to send a famine, not of food and drink, but a famine of the hearing of the words of God. There's a famine in our country of hearing the words of God. Then where else are they going to get the word of God if they're not going to get it from us? Where else are they going to see Jesus if they don't see it in us? Romans 8:29 says what? To be conformed into whose image? The world's? Oh, to be conformed into your church image. My goodness, we're supposed to look less and less like us and more like Jesus, man. That means in our compassions and how we talk and what we do. Man, it used to tear me up driving. Here I am, a missionary. I'm out there on the road. I'm driving. People are cutting me off all the time. I'm like, that's it. Hey, beep, beep. And I'd blow my horn at them. Oh, what a wonderful Christian that is. What if, just what if God sent that person across my path and that's how I treated them? How do I answer for that? God tore my heart out over that. I don't do it anymore. Why? People are watching in this lost world, man. How serious are we about showing them Jesus Christ? And look, this stuff is hard for me coming out of prisons and being an ex-gang member. All this stuff bothers me more than the average person. You mean to tell me that the Holy Ghost of God, well, He does tame that wild man, don't He? That's what it says in Mark. The man of, how do you say it? Gadara. Where is he? Clothed, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Ain't that something? You know how you can tell uncleanness in people? They're naked. America has become a naked people. When Jesus Christ stepped into a person's life, you know what they want to do? Cover up. Why? They're clean. They're not unclean anymore. That's why they're sitting and clothed in their right mind. And you know what happens? The religious people become afraid. Isn't that what it said? Why are they afraid? Because it challenges where they are. It challenges their life. Well, a sacrifice. Why? It's pleasing to God to do these things. God is well pleased when we praise Him, when we do good and communicate with others. Look, don't just do good in front of others. It's easy to do good in church. It's easy to do good in a church function. But when you're home alone, that person, those things that you say and do, that's the one God's after. He's not after the religious person that walks in the church doors or goes to church functions. He's after the one that's home by themselves. He can get that person trained and there might be something that happened, okay? It's pleasing to God. Well, Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Look what it says here. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. I'm on verse 21. Make you perfect. That means to make you mature in every good work to do my own will. No, to do His will. Working in you that which is what? Well-pleasing in whose sight? In His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To be well-pleasing in His sight. We walk by pleasing in our sight. What's pleasing to us? Oh, I'm happy in this. Oh, this feels good. Wow, that looks wonderful. But do we ever go to God and say, God, is this what You want? Is this well-pleasing to You? Decisions, brother. This is why I have a respect for you. decisions on buying things, decisions on cars, decisions on things for your family. Do you go to God because it's going to be well-pleasing to Him, or do you just worry about, well, I think this would be good for my family. I think this would be good for my ministry. I think this would be good for my church. And never even ask God. We're not even concerned about if it's well-pleasing to Him or not. We just take these things upon ourselves because it makes us feel good. No. Backwards. It's all backwards. We ought to be worrying about if God is pleased with these things. But we just go along in our merry way and we don't even think about the things that are pleasing to God. I thank God that I don't serve a God who thinks like me. I thank God that I don't serve a God who does the same things that I do. I thank a God who's very merciful and allows us to repent when we mess up. Because I mess up almost daily on what is pleasing to God. Sometimes I have to just step back and look and go, man, Lord, how did I get here? I thought this is what you wanted. You know what comes to my mind? Why didn't you ask me? I'm just telling you right now, 99% of the time, my answers come from that Bible. God will make it absolutely clear to me. I go, oh, you know why? Because that's what's well-pleasing to Him. And there have been many things, brother, in our life and as a family that we've had to learn together. Wow, that would really benefit us. But what looks good to us does not always mean it looks good to God. But that's how we equate it. We equate, well, this looks good, it must be from God. Read in your Bible how many people say that, and it's the absolute destruction of their family. Oh, that must be, oh, God really must want us to do that, and it destroys them. Why? Because they didn't even concern. They had no concern about if this is well-pleasing to God. They had no concern about going to Him. Why? Because God is not in all their thoughts. I'm just telling you, the more we can try to keep God in our thoughts, the better off we are. And we can't do it all the time. I get it. But I'm telling you right now, I want you to go spend the next 6 hours. And I want you to think of nothing but God and Jesus Christ. And I want you to see how different you live. You know why we don't do that? We have our own agenda to live. Woo! It's the truth, man. That's the reality of this whole Christian walk. Oh, God, is this pleasing to you? Well, hang on a minute, Lord, because it's really good for me. Again, we've lost our purpose to self. We now belong. We always say how precious the blood is and how powerful it is. Then why don't we let that guide our life? Why don't we think upon that if it's that powerful? And if we're bought with such a precious and wonderful blood, why don't we think about that in our daily Christian walk? Because we're not worried about what's well-pleasing to God. We're worried about what's well-pleasing to our flesh. What we are. And God in heaven goes, man, I did that for them, and well, this is my return. That's why it says the sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice. Sacrifice. A sacrifice. Every single morning means I'm going to lay this on the altar of prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for whatever it is. A sacrifice of praise. Praise your holy name. You know, praising is, we praise Him for who He is and what He's done. We thank Him for what He's given to us. He says to praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for His name. Praise Him for Jehovah God. But do we? And then when that answer comes back and it's not what we thought, we get disappointed in God because He doesn't know better. We do. Well, let me get through some more of this. It's well-pleasing in His sight. It's well-pleasing to God to see Jesus Christ work in us and do His will. Do you know what's pleasing to God to watch Jesus Christ work in us? He likes to see that in our walk. He likes to see that in our life. He likes to see us mature in the Christian walk. God the Father looks down from heaven and He's well-pleased with watching what Jesus Christ is doing in our life. He likes that. Why? Because that's what He chose. Colossians 3, children, wake up, children, here, listen to this. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to please the Lord, children? Then you go ahead and listen to your parents and obey them. God tells you to. It's a direct commandment for you to obey. Hey, look at older people. We're still children of somebody. Oh. Hey, somebody said, well, you know, you do grow up at one point. I said, then why does God call them the children of Israel over and over again and they're growing up? I'm still somebody's child. You mean to tell me because I grew up I don't have to honor my mother anymore? People twist stuff. Why? Because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. We ought to all be, hey, listen, we may be out on our own, but if our parents have some good wisdom, should we not listen to that and obey it? Of course we should. Why? It's well-pleasing to God. Brother, the first thing God, look, after I got saved, after I got out of prison, after I got saved, the very first thing God had me do is to forgive my mother. He says, you'll honor your mother. I said, I cannot honor such a wicked person such as that. He says, you don't have a choice. God didn't give me a choice. He didn't just change my life for forgiving me from the things that you know, jail and prison. It was a whole lot more. There was bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness inside of me. Hey, brother, those smoking and drinking and drugs, that's all easy to God. That's nothing for Him to take away. It's those things inside of us that He's trying to reach after. It's those things inside of us that we won't want to give up. That bitterness and hatred. I used to look at my mother and tell her how much I hated her and I would stomp her guts out. And God said, you'll honor your mother. You got no choice. Or else He was going to run me through it, man. Took me a while. I learned how to honor my mother. And guess what? In honoring her, I've learned how to love her. And let me tell you, it's hard. You ask my wife and my children how hard it is. But you know what? God didn't say, I want you to do that if she treats you right. My mother, I'm 52 and my mother still tries to abuse me. But God didn't say do it if she stops doing it. There are things in your life God is telling you to do, and it doesn't matter if somebody else done it or not. He wants you to do it. It's well pleasing to Him that you do that. It shows growth. It shows that Jesus Christ can have His way in your life. You give yourself over to everything else pretty easy. Why not Jesus? Just because it's hard? Life is hard. Inside or outside. I'd much rather go through hard times with Jesus Christ than go through a hard time without Him. Any day, hands down, it don't matter. Well, children, obey your parents in all things, not some things, in all things. We get on this thing, well, I'll obey them in this, but that I'm not too sure about. All things. Why? It's well-pleasing unto the Lord. I don't care if you're 18, 19, 20 years old. You're still living at home. My son is 19 years old. You're still living at home under my rules. My rules. My house. I love my son. And I want what's best for him. But he's not going to have his way in my house. You ask him. I'm not trying to put him on the... I'm just telling you how it is. God put me in order of a home. He says, you'd run that home, Dale. My son has to obey me. The people... Doug, you guys pray for Luke because he goes through torture in college. They torture him because he's a Christian. Try to put pornography in his face, call him a faggot and everything else, wanting to beat him up. You mean to tell me you listen to your dad at home? He says, yes, I do. I'm a Christian. Man, they torture him for it. But thank God he's able to stand up like a man and not some little wimp. You say, what if they put their hands on him? They did it. You know what he did? He body slammed them, broke the kid's finger. I don't care. Don't bother me a bit. You ain't touching my son. Well, you believe in that violence? He took it. He came to me over and over again. Dad, look, you take it. You take it as far as you can. And you live that Christian life as hard as you can in front of them. Over and over again. And then finally it was it. The kid charged him. Literally ran at Luke. I said, nope, you don't have to take it, man. When that happens, it's over. Right. Defend yourself. But be a Christian first. Luke can stand on my shoulders. I want Luke to stand on my shoulders and see farther than I ever did. There are things, this is going to sound crazy to you, but there are things that Luke is more of a man in his life than I ever was. Why? Because God has taught me to teach him. He came home one day and said, "Dad, how do I handle this situation?" I said, "Well, there's two ways we can handle it. We can handle it my way. We'll go there with a couple crowbars and put their teeth down their throat. Or we can handle it God's way." By the time we were done with our talk, I kid you not, he looked at me dead in my eyes and goes, "I'll handle it God's way." By the time that first semester was done, those same people were asking him for help. Amen. It's hard, man, to watch your child be tortured like that. Yeah. It's hard to hear them go through those things, right? Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what God the Father felt like. Yeah, that's right. And we do that to him every day. We do that to Jesus Christ every single day in our lives. With our thinking, with our hearts, with our decisions. We do that to Jesus. And we don't think nothing about it, but it tears our heart out when we see our child go through it. Imagine the heartbreak of God the Father looking at Jesus Christ going through that. Philippians 4:18. Look at this. It says, you don't have to turn there because I want to get through this. But look at Philippians 4:18 says this. But I have all and abound. Philippians 4:18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What is he saying here? God is well-pleased when we take care of the men of God, when we take care of the missionaries, when we take care of those people who are out there preaching the Word of God. God is well-pleased when we take care of them. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a missionary. I'm saying that because the Bible says God is well-pleased with that. He uses God's people to take care of God's people. He doesn't want me to go out to the government to take care of me. He doesn't want me to go out there to the lost world to take care of us. He wants us to come to God's people. God is well pleased with that. That's so thank you guys, man. You guys are wonderful to us in your giving. Just know this. It pleased God this morning for every single person who put anything in that plate. It was well pleasing to God. That ought to be your motive. God will take care of the Maurice. You take care of what's well-pleasing to God. And He'll honor you for it. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this. But we are, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Hey, preachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, missionaries, God is well-pleasing when we speak the truth for Him, not what man has to think about it. I could care less about what anybody thinks about my preaching as long as I'm keeping it biblical and keeping it where God wants it. He's given me a responsibility. I told your pastor this morning, I take it serious. This is not a joke. It's not a show. There are people's lives. There are souls hanging in the balance. You got to take the word, every word. I'm accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth through this Bible. I have a love for you people in this church. I don't come here to play games. I don't come here to make you my friend. I come to preach the truth out of that Bible. And if we become friends, wonderful. If not, wonderful. I'd love to be your friend. But I can't be your friend and be a preacher at the same time. Because there's times that we're just going to have to cross that line and I'm going to preach. And I remember learning that lesson. It was a very hard lesson for me. And the first time it happened to me, I was preaching at a friend's church who I love dearly, still do. And God gave me a message, and I go, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "Nah, Lord, that's." And it kept going, so I opened my Bible right at the pulpit. I opened my Bible and I pulled some other notes. That was a mistake. God just shut me up. I said, "Okay, Lord, let's do it." You know what? People got help that day. If I were to preach something different, they wouldn't have got the help that day, brother. So I had to learn to put those things aside. Why? Because it was well-pleasing to God. It wasn't well-pleasing to me. It wasn't well-pleasing to me to have to do that. But you know what? There comes a time that we have to do that. Well, let me just say this one more thing in 1 John chapter 3. Then we'll close out what's well-pleasing. There's a few more things that are in here. Go search out well-pleasing. Go search out pleasing to God. Go search out what pleases the Father and I'm well-pleased and so on. And man, it's just wonderful to see how we can be pleasing to God, our life, and how we can please Him in our decisions and so on and so forth. But 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 18. I'll read through it and preach through it, and then we'll be out of here. Look at it, says, my little children, let us not love in word. Boy, is that a disease that runs in churches today. Everybody's loving in word and word and word. They're saying all these things and never bringing them to pass, never doing it. It's a shame. It's very hurtful to a lot of people. Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're supposed to do things and in the truth do them. Hereby we know, not guess, that we are of the truth. This is how do you know you're in the truth? By doing those things that are of the deed and truth, not just with your mouth. How do you know, how are you assured that you're a child of God? By doing the things that He says to do. It says that you will know, not guess, not maybe, not hope so. Man, so many people are walking around today, brother, with a hope so. Why hope so? Maybe, I don't know. The Bible says you can know. Hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Before who? God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth some things. Oh no, my friend, He knows all things. Those very things that you're thinking in your heart as this service is going on tonight, God has already seen them. You cannot hide nothing from God. Here's what we do though, brother. We walk around and we don't even know. We don't even recognize that God is watching us every second. Oh, you don't know who's going to see me do this. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking of God. Because if you were thinking of God, you wouldn't do that thing in secret. God knows. I'm telling you right now, there are people sitting in this church tonight that are doing things in secret that shouldn't. Brother, then we had that talk. I forgot the numbers. I may misquote it. I'll lower it. 75% of men at the age of 50 years old and younger in Baptist churches have looked at pornography at least once this week. You don't think I know that there's people in this very room tonight who's looked at pornography? If you think that there's nobody in here that's done that, you're out of your mind. It's killing our church people. It's killing our marriages. It's destroying our children. But yet they still do it in secret. Why? It's hell. It's in their hand. It's in their hand. Luke, Autumn, are you guys allowed to bring your phones in your bedroom? Are you allowed to be anywhere alone with your phones? Not in my house. It's my job to protect my children. If I don't step in, who's gonna? Because the world's trying to convert them to them. My goodness, protect your children. Get that stuff, go home and get it out of their room tonight. Don't let them bring it back in there. Don't matter if you hurt their feelings. My goodness, are you kidding me? God has to make decisions for us, brother. And we look at it and we go, God, why are you doing this to me? And He's telling us because it's out of a perfect love. You do that same thing to your children. They don't understand it. They think you're trying to hurt them, but you're doing it out of a perfect love for them. They'll understand it one day. They'll thank you for it. I looked at my son, I think sometime this week. I said, I know it seems like I can be pretty rough at some times. I said, Luke, but one day you'll thank me for it. Yes, 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we the confidence towards God. Verse 22, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why do we receive of Him? Because we look at His commandments. We read His commandments. Oh no, we keep His commandments. That we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another. Oh, excuse me, I skipped. Because His commandments and do these things which are pleasing in His sight. It's pleasing to do the commandments of God. Well, what are the commandments? Verse 23. And this is the commandment. That we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which He hath given us. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Don't turn there. It says that His Spirit, capital S Spirit. By the way, the capitalization on your spirits in your Bible are very important. Very, very important. It tells you who's doing the work. The capital S Spirit in Romans 8:16 is God's Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, small s Spirit. People today, Brother Doug, are trying to take their small s Spirit and convince their small s Spirit that they're children of God. It says the capital S Spirit of God is what gives us the truth. It's what tells us we're the child of God. Well, how do we know that right here? God put a spirit in every single one of us that's saved, a capital S Spirit. Why? It's well-pleasing to Him that we know we're His children. Aren't you well-pleased to know that those are your children? Don't they tickle your heart knowing that they're yours? Well, don't you think God wants that same thing? Don't you think that it's well-pleasing to God to look down on His children and say, that's my son, that's my daughter? A lot of people struggle with that because their spirit's still trying to convince their spirit that they're saved. That's a disease that's going on in churches today. Their spirit is witnessing to their spirit that they're children of God and they're not. If that's what's going on with you tonight, don't have to be. God is so willing to put His Spirit inside of you. How do you know you're saved? His Spirit. You don't have to do nothing. He puts it inside of you. And when you read this word, it confirms it. Confirm, 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 confirm. That's why it says examine yourself. How do you examine yourself? You, right here. If you get arrested, don't you want your lawyer to examine every single thing that they have against you? Every, that you might be able to find the loophole? Look at this. If you examine yourself against this Bible, and at the end, if you find Jesus wonderful, you're saved. But if you get to the end of the examination and you don't find Jesus there, you can get saved. Amen. But hey, don't be afraid to examine that doubt that goes through your head and your heart. Don't be afraid to examine those. Look at, don't let people talk you out of it. Go examine why are you doubting. Go examine it. And see, is it something I'm doing? Is it the wrong way I'm living? Is it that God's Spirit really isn't in me? God wants you to realize you're lost. If you can't realize you're lost, how are you going to know you need a Savior? Can I say one more thing real quick, Pastor? And it's going to step on some toes. We believe the King James Bible is the true written Word of God. 100%. So when this Bible is being preached, and I wouldn't say nothing behind your pulpit that I think that you would disagree with. When this Bible is being preached, seeing it's the most powerful word, and the Holy Ghost of God is moving across these pews, who do you think is making people doubt? It sure ain't the devil, I promise you that. Your protection is sitting underneath the preaching of that Bible and the Holy Ghost moving across these pews. Why would the devil want you to find out you're lost to get saved? Why would he want you to realize that you're lost so that you can get saved? He wouldn't. But Jesus would. Jesus wants you to be saved. That's why I came down here to die. So my thing is this in closing. You want to please God? If you're lost here tonight, examine yourself to see where you're at. Find out if you're really in this thing or not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Search the scriptures and let the Spirit of God tell you where you're at. And then if you find out that you're in the wrong spot, then get to them. Pretty simple. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Rich is just going to play something. I think it would be really good if you just stood there, come to the altar, ask God to examine you right now. Think about what was said tonight. A good spiritual exam is what we all need. Every one of us, including the preacher. We all need to examine ourselves, see where we stand with God. The thing that you can ask Him tonight is what the way you're living your life. Hey, husbands, what kind of a husband are you? Are you a pleasing husband to God? Wives, are you a pleasing wife to God? Kids, are you pleasing to God in your relationship with your parents? And parents, are we pleasing God with our relationship with our kids? I know a lot of us in this room, we think we know what we're doing. We think we're right. I know marriages that fall apart because one thought that they were right or they both thought they were right and neither one of them was right. Examine yourself, whether you're in the faith or not. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that was the message tonight about pleasing God. How's your faith tonight? I tell you, that message spoke to me. I need to ask more often, God, am I pleasing you or am I trying to please myself? Make your way out of your seat and come down here if you need to. Maybe you can't physically, you're having an issue, maybe. That's fine. Can you pray right where you're at? Amen. Well, thank you, brother, for the messages today. Really. Thank you. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your family. And we appreciate you all. We'll be praying hard for you.